Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Join us now as we begin part five of our discussion, Using Technology Wisely in Your Home. Thank you so much, though, for joining us and being a part of our podcast. As you know, we have been doing a series, and we're going to try to finish it today. Mm-hmm. We've been doing a series about using technology wisely in our homes.
Yes.
And there's no doubt about it. Technology is here to stay.
Yes.
We're surrounded by it. It just covers every area of our life.
In every room.
Absolutely. We use it in our cars. We use it just everywhere. When we're shopping, we use it when we're in their house. Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt it's here to stay. And we're not against it. Mm-hmm. We're for it. We believe in technology. But we believe that it is a tool that must be wisely used and continually monitored.
Absolutely.
And you moms and dads that are listening, and even maybe you singles or just you that are newly married or maybe even retired. How long has it been since you did a technology monitoring? How long has it been since you just checked? How are the phones? How's the internet?
Right.
And what's really being watched on your TV?
Right.
And if we don't monitor technology, we will, without doubt, we will use it unwisely.
Absolutely.
So it has to be monitored. Mm-hmm. So if you remember 4 weeks ago, we started talking about the key words of better and balanced and best.
Yes.
We talked about how to keep technology, what it looks like in its proper place, and how we can recognize that, wow, it's out of place. That was in part one. Mm-hmm. And then for you that joined us on part two, we just really talked about nudges. That was one of our key words there. And what we've been doing is our hearts were provoked ourselves because we read or listened to online. I read it. Bethley listened to it. Yes. Tech Wise Family. And that's by Andy Crouch. That's a book you ought to get. It's a book you ought to read. He has such a balanced approach. It's good reminders in so many areas. He covers just things I wouldn't have even thought of covering in a book about technology.
Yes, it was awesome.
It was awesome. So we got the idea of nudges and choices from his book. And he helped us to think through a definition of technology. And that was in part three. And then what we did is we started trying to put together some commitments that Bethley and I have. The book challenged us about making commitments.
Right.
And so we really came up with five, and we've given you three so far. Mm-hmm. Our first commitment was that we wanted to grow together as a family.
Right.
We wanted our kids to have wisdom, character. Mm-hmm. And so forth. And there was something that I mentioned in there that we've talked about even, Bethany and I, several times recently, about the fact that we either do the hard thing now or the hard thing later.
Right.
And if we do the hard thing now, meaning we police what the children are watching as we're training them how to handle technology and the issues of life.
Right.
And that spills over into so many things for us.
Yes.
Sometimes we've allowed little things to go. It wasn't that big of a deal because it would have been a really hard thing to say no.
It didn't seem like it needed to be a hard no at that time.
That's true. And then because we didn't do the harder thing by saying no.
Right.
That really came back to bite us.
Now
we have to do the harder thing later.
Now the hard thing comes. And the hard thing at the end is harder than the hard thing at the beginning.
Yeah, that sounds,
that's what that we're sounds trying like a paradox, to say.
But it's really true.
Yes.
So there'll be some issues of technology that's going to be hard for you to handle, to say no to your children who desperately want that new app or that new social media.
Right, all their friends are doing it.
Everybody else is. And,
right.
And it's just a hard thing to say no.
Yes.
But doing the hard thing now makes life easier later on and prevents you from having to do a harder thing later.
That's right.
And so then we said, secondly, that we wanted to use technology on purpose. We don't want to just turn the TV on just because. We want to turn the TV on for a reason.
Because there is something worthy of our attention.
Right. And we try to think through the times we want the screens not to be a part of our lives, like dinner and car rides and church and and after certain hours and before certain hours and things of that sort. And we grade that, you know, when they're younger, they obviously have more, we have more rules about that.
Right.
Things they can't do.
And they're smaller. Yes.
And then as they get older, we give them more opportunity, a little more leeway. Mm-hmm. And moms and dads, you have to think that through about where your children are. Mm-hmm. And then we closed part four last week by talking about we want to learn skills that have lifelong ramifications. And a TechWise family, the book TechWise Family, pointed out that technology can often be replaced by non-technology. Mm-hmm. Rather than have music always in our ears, we can sing together as a family. We can sing together. Rather than listening, we can sing together.
Right, or play music. And, we can on play an games. Instrument.
Instead of microwaving a meal, we can learn to cook a meal. and it's not wrong to listen to music. It's not wrong to microwave.
Oh, no.
Technology
no.
is not wrong.
Right.
But some of the great value of life is taking the time to cook the meal, put it together, and learn how the ingredients work and make it special. And all of those kind of things. So that's where we ended last week. And let's close this week. We wanted to give you two more commitments and just some final comments. And so we're going to jump right in here. The fourth commitment that we want to give is simply this. Go ahead, sweetheart.
We want to protect our family from internet harm.
Now, everybody knows that's a big one.
It is. And it's something that we have covered on previous podcasts. Just how to protect from internet harm, but we just felt like it needed a little more of, reinforcement.
A reminder.
Reinforcement. And also, since we started the podcast on the tech and being careful about tech in your family, we've had a few questions in this direction. And we weren't necessarily going to go in this direction because we had covered it, but we feel like we need to cover it again.
Absolutely. And there's always questions.
Right.
And maybe you listen to the first one but my assumption is that people are like us. Even though we're very careful, after a while we just kind of start floating along.
Right.
And then we stop and say, we haven't checked a phone in some time. Let's check a phone.
Back it up.
And so we always have to continually be reminding ourselves that technology has to be monitored.
Yes.
And we have to keep up with that. So in protecting our children from internet harm, there was really two things, and we'll break these down a little bit for you. Mm-hmm. The first thing we wanted to talk to you about is the fact that we need to teach our children.
Right.
And secondly, we need to protect ourselves and our children.
Right.
But here was a quote that really caught my attention in the book that we just finished. And the author said this. He said, "The path to health is not encasing our children in some kind of germ-free, sterile environment that they will likely try to flee. Rather, it is having a healthy immune system that equips us to resist and reject the things that do not lead to health."
Mm.
Now break that down and think that through just a little bit. For one thing, no matter how good we are as parents, technology is moving along at such a rapid pace.
Right.
Every time your children go somewhere, they're going to see stuff, they're going to hear stuff.
Right.
Anytime a child from the neighborhood stops by to talk to your children, chances are they're going to have a phone in their hand or an iPad or some device in their hand.
Right.
Rather than try to protect our children from all possibilities of damaging themselves.
Right.
What the author said was the best thing to do is to teach your children to help them to build healthy immune systems.
Yes.
So that they know how to resist and reject the things that are unhealthy.
Mm.
And we as parents can, put them in a sterile environment. No internet, no movies. Mm. We're never leaving our house. There's all kinds of things we could go overboard to protect our children, but living in a normal world means that our children are going to be around friends.
Yes.
They're going to be around neighborhood kids. They're even going to be at grandpa's and grandma's house who may have a computer and have never heard of an internet filter.
Yes. They're going to be riding in the car and seeing digital billboards.
Absolutely.
There's so much.
It's just surrounding
that you cannot possibly take your child totally out of this culture.
That's correct.
You really can't.
So protecting our family from internet harm starts with teaching our children. Mm-hmm. And we have to, here's just some things we would have to teach them. And this is so important, especially for you moms and dads. It's vital to teach your kids what to expect.
Right.
So that they're not caught off guard when somebody shows them something or they stumble onto something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that they know what to expect. And then on top of that, they learn how to respond.
Yes.
In advance.
Yes.
So it's not like they stumble onto something and they have never seen anything like this before in their life and they've never heard anything like this before in their life.
And they don't know what to do with it.
They don't even have a vocabulary to explain what to do with it.
Right.
So what we do is we want to teach our children what to expect and how to respond.
Right.
And on top of that, what to do.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
This is how you respond. Now, what do you do about it?
Yes.
You just saw something that you shouldn't have seen, that you know is inappropriate.
Right.
You just saw something that that's not good.
Right.
Well, what do you do about it? And your steps for your son or daughter may be different than ours. Mm-hmm. But, that's not just something that's important for our children. That's important for us.
Right.
If we see something, what do we do about it?
Yes.
Do we just kind of erase it and move on and No, there are specific steps in the Bible. The Bible tells us we're to take every thought into captivity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us that we are to hide God's word in our heart, that we might not sin against God. Mm-hmm. We keep our way clean by taking heed to the word of God.
Yes.
And over and over again, the Bible reminds us that we have to have steps prepared, in place, ready to react to the issues of this world.
Right. And there are verses, I think it's in Proverbs, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not.
Yeah, chapter 1, verse 10.
And so we just teach your children, no, you say no. I don't look at that, or no, I don't watch that TV program. There is the verse, flee youthful lusts. Yep. You know, if someone is persistent or aggressive, you can flee, you can run.
Absolutely.
You can get away from there.
And Joseph's our illustration of that.
Right, absolutely.
In Genesis 39, who fled.
Right.
And it cost him dearly, but he left with his purity and he left with his character.
Yes. So basically, what we're saying is you need a game plan, right?
Absolutely.
Your kids need a game plan.
That's right. So we're teaching our children. That's the first thing we want to say. But the second thing is to protect yourself and your children.
Can we just back up to the first point there about giving them a game plan? We didn't call it that. Teach your children. We called it teach your children. But I would also say in this, when you're teaching your children, be just very practical and very commonplace about it.
Yeah.
Don't treat it like this is going to be the most awful thing that you have ever seen. And if this ever happens to you, probably your life will be ruined. Don't do that to your kids. Just treat it very practically because it is very common.
It's very common. And if they treat it nonchalantly almost.
Right.
I hate to use that word.
Right.
But the idea is if you don't want them reacting so
violently
that it becomes a part of their mind, that violent reaction.
Right.
And it can actually backfire on us to where the intensity with which we deal with it draws them to it rather than away from it.
Well, and it also can draw them away from us because if they do see something.
That's true.
Instead of coming home and saying, oh, you told me that this might happen. And yes, this popped up on my friend's phone. And so I told them, no, we need to turn that off right now or we need to put your phone down. Instead of coming home and telling us, if they feel like you've treated this in such an intense way, they're not going to want to share it with you, and you're not going to be able to have those good conversations.
That's a really good point.
That can lead to more of a game plan.
Because if we tell our kids that this is going to ruin your life, and your 9-year old sees something at school, all of a sudden, if he's got a tender heart or she's got a tender heart,
devastated.
She's thinking, "Oh my goodness, I've just ruined my life."
Absolutely.
And that's not what we mean at all.
So
we've got to teach them and
just
teach them why. Teach them
plan.
Why.
Yes.
Just say this is important because God wants you to do right and it's worth it, and so you teach them the why.
You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today was the beginning in part 5 of our episodes entitled Using Technology Wisely in Your Home. Join us next time as we conclude part 5 and the entire series.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.